Good morning, Hank Coy.
Good morning, Otto.
Hank, I've been working on something very closely related to Matha Musics, which is the chakra system. As you know, Matha Musics is the exploration on the use of the language notation of music to understand cell communication. And in the description of the chakra system, it actually goes to a much deeper level, which is that of the cell communication itself and how all these cells communicate using electromagnetic signals and systems. And the chakra system is a part of that story. It would help me if you could give me an idea of what you know about the chakra system, because that probably will help other people as well when they listen in on this later on, to build a bridge between the quite deep level where I'm describing things now, mm-hmm. and the more general level where people might run into chakras.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll try. I give it a try. So for me, in my work as a sound therapist, a chakra is a vortex, an electromagnetical vortex that's influenced by thoughts, that's influenced by sound, and especially in my work, it's done with sound and intention. So. So from that angle, I know it very well in the depth what it could do, and since we are talking about math music, a lot of times Otto and me, we came to this zero dimension, one dimension, two dimension, third dimension idea of to look at the same phenomena in a different way. So from me, it's more sound, but it's more than a shockwave in 1D. It's more than a line, because we have this linear and non-linear things going on also in a chakra. And so we are used to approach the chakra and sound like a non-linear thing. Nevertheless, it's also always a note with overtones. So it's not that non-linear either. So altogether, it are actually two sides of the coin. And in our approach of math music, we have even four sides of the coin. So it's even more complex. Nevertheless, it gives insight in what we are working on. Are we going on cell communication through phase change, through traveling waves or door standing waves? And for me, the standing waves is a very good phenomenon what we use in sound, and we call it sound pillars. So then we create a chakra vortex by itself, and it's staying there all the time. So in the third dimension, as Otto calls it in his model, I recognize a lot of things in the other two or three dimension left. It's less, but that's because it's harder to grasp for me. But if you do photon research and are you well into quantum mechanics and other kinds of math and physics and gimmicks, so I think that's an easier entrance for your idea of the chakra, but I don't know, because I'm not a chemist. So so that's more or less the way I see, I feel, and how I approach a chakra. So more or less in the idea of the one dimension, as Otto calls his in his model, and on the third dimension, and on the zero and the two dimension, it's less. I understand the zero point, but nevertheless, it's hard to grasp in this for me. Hard to grasp in this system, but and then for Otto, it's easy, and for some mathematicians, it's also easy. But for me, it's a little bit harder. But everyone has his own problems. So I would say let's have a go with it.
Thank you, Hank. indeed, you bring up very fundamental things straight away. As you say and imply, it is all very complex, but at the same time very simple, and that's also why this whole story of the chakra is so crucial to help understand what we are doing with Matha Music. In Matha Music, we are looking at these notes, these vibrations, these cell cycles, and how they all interact and interrelate. And as a result, they make very many and very complex patterns of cycles within cycles. In the story of the chakras, I go, say, down to the basis of it all. And maybe it's best to start right at the start of everything, the start of our body in the first cell, and the start of the universe from the shape of the egg. And it is very nice to refer straight away to the book The Vortex of Life by Lawrence Edwards, because he showed that if you have a line and you turn it inside out on itself, you fold a line through one of the points on the line, just imagine that, then out comes the shape of the vortex. And he also shows very nicely in his book The Vortex of Life that the shape of the vortex and the shape of the torus, the donut shape, and the shape of the egg are all interrelated, and in fact all of the star shapes are connected to that too. So there is a very fundamental level of mathematical geometry in which you can see that there are different shapes which all have to do with the beginning of things. The standard notion of all life comes from an egg then ties up with this notion of the shape of the egg. And Lawrence Edwards shows that in this little buds of the trees, you can see that the buds of the branches and the leaves of the next season, there is a change of shape depending on the relationship of the planets. So when there are planets crossing over each other, you will see that in a change of the shape of that bud. More important is that there is a general principle that the dynamic of the planets affects the shape of the buds of the tree. But in a more general sense, you can also see that that egg shape, later when it unfolds, is seen as a vortex shape in, say, the leaf or a flower. And that's also the starting point which I present for the people who read the text on the chakras, which can be found at the URL chakras.integralhealthcare.info. And one of the first exercises there is just sit down and look at flowers. Because once you look at flowers, you can see that there is a bud which opens in a kind of spinning movement, and out come all these leaves of the flower. Once you understand that that is a vortex motion, you can compare the flowers of all kind of different plants and see that essentially they use the same kind of vortex motion. With some flowers you can see much more easily that it is a vortex. In some flowers you can much more easily see that it's a double vortex. In a double vortex you can actually have a movement going one way and the other way at the same time. Let me just go back to the more fundamental form of the vortex, which most people will know. When they pull the plug of the bath or the sink and the water flows out back into the sewage system and back towards the oceans, then as you pull the plug you see that a vortex is formed, and that vortex is a very fundamental shape in which the three-dimensional volume of the water in the bath is connected by the surface of the bath, which is two-dimensional, which flows through the streamline of the vortex, which is one-dimensional, through the hole of the plug out of the bath. Mm-hmm. And the hole is zero-dimensional. So in a vortex, you can see that there is a direct connection between three-dimensional volume, the two-dimensional surface, the one-dimensional streamline, and the zero-dimensional sink point. In astronomy, they would call that the black hole, which is evidently on the other side a white source. So where in the bath you see everything disappear, in the ocean you see everything appear from the sewage system, which is where the bathwater went to. So this notion of the vortex is very fundamental, because it not only connects three dimensions to two dimensions to one dimension to zero dimensional, but the other way around. When you look at the other side of the plug of the bath, you can see that from a point there is this streamline which comes out, which then produces a surface, which then can build up a volume. So when you look at it from that end, you can understand that the whole universe will have been created by such a process. And once you understand that the vortex of the bathtub and the vortex of the water that's filling the oceans are connected, then you can also see that the vortex on the one side has a complement on the vortex on the other side. And the vortex has two sides, always. And it is that vortex on the one side connecting to the vortex on the other side, which looks a bit like a diabolo or like an hourglass, a sand glass, which has a bulb on one side, bulb on the other side. It's like a figure eight, which has been turned around. And so there is, say, a ball on the one side, a ball on the other side, with a crossing point between them. That crossing point between them is a zero point. And that zero point is fundamental in that it is actually not in our dimension. It's in the zero dimension. It's the point. But it is also the point where the one side connects to the other. So in that point, the one side and the opposite meet. They're connected. So in that point, you can see that the separate sides are connected. And that is the essence of, say, the core point of the vortex, and this point, which is called a singularity. That singularity is very fundamental because it has two opposites within it. A different way of looking at that singularity is that it is the crossing point from one side of a boundary to the other side of the boundary. So where you have the two sides of the boundaries which are different and separate, then in the boundary you can see that the boundary connects them both. And that in the boundary there is a point where the inside connects to the outside, and that point is called the singularity. For example, the navel of our body is such a singularity point. It is where the gut system of the baby connected to the umbilic, and thus to the gut system of the mother. So that is the transition where information and food can go from one side of the boundary to the other. And in plastic products, you can often see that there is this little nipple where it has been produced. Most often they later scrape it off. But it is the same principle of a vortex. It's something that is produced from a hole by a streamline to form a surface which then takes a form in its environment. So that principle of the vortex is very fundamental, because you can understand how it creates the whole universe. It's a geometry of unfoldment from a seed to a stem to a leaf to a flower, And so in that sense, everything in nature can be discerned and interpreted to be in the shape of a vortex. Going back to the exercise of looking at the bathtub when you pull the plug, or looking at the flower as it unfolds, then you can see that they have the same shape. And you can also see that the shape of the one flower is the shape of the other flower, but it differs in the kind of ripples that you can have on the vortex surface. A very interesting way in which you can see those ripples is when you turn on the tap and the water flows out. The tap again is a point where you connect something from one side to the other, so a vortex will form. But at the moment that you have a very thin stream of water, then you cannot very much recognize the vortex in its bathtub vortex form. But what you see is like the last bit of the vortex before the water races off into the drain, but now inside out. So instead of having the hollow tube in the vortex of the bathtub, when you open the tap and let the water flow out, you see that there is a stream of water, but you also see that it will form a wobble on the surface if the water is moving slow enough. In a way, the water falls down, catches up with itself, slows down again, catches up with itself, and so on. And that's called a chain line of the water. And the chain line of the water is actually the interference of a vortex rippling the one way and at the other side. So together it makes this like a pulsation, the shape of a pulsation in the water line. And that is also when you see in the difference between, say, a rose or a cherry blossom, that in a cherry blossom you see much more that there is this crystallized pulsation which comes to view, while in the rose and the tulip you see much more the streamlined sheath of flow connecting up to each other. Now, this notion of the importance of the vortex and this image of we can see vortices all around us, we can combine with the understanding of the first cell of our body. And then in the first cell of the body, we know that we had the sperm and the egg of the father and the mother coming together, so that the first cell of the body is actually the fusion of two cells. And evidently, every parent had two parents, and those had two parents, and so on. So the first cell has been formed out of the union of two cells, which were the union of two cells, which were the union of two cells, which were the union of two cells. So the first cell of the body is actually the tipping point, or the edge of a fractal of all of your ancestors. If you would go back a couple of thousand years and you look at all the ancestors which you had living at that time, then you see that every next generation, the number of people involved is halved, because every time two of them came together to produce the next generation. And then out of that comes the first cell of your body, bringing together all of those ancestors. So in a way, that is the shape of the tree, of their ancestry. And you can see there one of the principles of the fractal, but it is actually also one of the principles of the vortex. The zero point of the tipping point of the first cell of your body then repeats that pattern, but now the other way around. Where the first cell was formed out of the fusion of cells, then the first cell divides again and again and again, leading to two cells, four cells, eight cells, and so on, forming your whole body. So the first cell unfolds in a fractal, which is basically the other side of the vortex, which means that the first cell actually is the container And the old word for that would be pharaoh in Egyptian, or it would be the grail in the grail myth. So that cell is the container of a vortex of the continuation of life. But the word for a vortex in the traditional knowledge, the traditional description, and the oldest traditional which refers to that is Sanskrit, then the word there is a chakra. So there is no difference in the meaning of the word a chakra and the word of a vortex. So in the body we can replace the word of the vortex by the word chakra, and then we can immediately connect it up to this understanding of all of the old healing traditions. It is necessary, however, to build a bridge between the description which you find in the healing techniques, where they have this chakra system, the rainbow of colors going from the bottom of our spine to the top of the spine, with a range of different colors in between, and a process which is known as the aura. And so in order to understand why this spectrum of colors is there and why we have the aura, it is better to go back to this first cell and see what happens when that cell divides again and again and again. And in my text of the chakras, there is one chapter, one section, which is called "All Chakras Are One Chakra," because once you understand that the first cell already has a double vortex, on the one side the ancestry, on the other side all of the cells that form the body, then you can also understand that when the cell divides, it actually goes through a vortex process, and out of that come two cells. Actually, for me, that was a crucial understanding in being able to connect all of physics into all of biology and connect it to all of the chakra knowledge. Because once the cell is seen to divide, you also see that the matter of the cell starts to become liquid. The molecules in the cell start to dissolve. The atoms start to fall apart. And then it is the same principle of the volume of the bath going from the surface through the streamline down into the point. But now we see that the material structure in three dimensions goes through the process in two dimensions, goes into the atomic transformation, and then goes to the deepest level, the subatomic level, and from there it bounces back. There's something very fundamental about cell division, is that the cell goes from material to molecular to atomic, changes phase at the most fundamental level, and then mirrors back as two quasi-symmetric cells. So that the process of the cell division, which we also discussed in Mathemusics, is actually a vortex system. But in that vortex system, you see how it goes from space to time to energy to consciousness, because it goes from matter to molecules to atom to pure phase space, and from there it bounces back. So that you can actually see that the two cells which come out of the cell division have gone through this vortex motion and have bounced off this phase space and come back as two cells, but they have come back out of a vortex motion yet again. But mm-hmm. that means that the as in Mathemusics we said, the note of the first cell has turned into two notes of the cells that came out of it. So where the first cell has disappeared, it will be, say, the ground note of the two notes that are then playing. But in the vortex system, you will understand that the vortex of the first cell, where the cell turned inside out on itself, very literally, has led to the inside out version of that cell, which is now two cells. So the split and double, the divide equals multiply process is a vortexing process. But that happens not only for the first cell, but it happens for every cell. That means that all of the cells which come out of the first cell are part of that same vortex motion. And that is something which we have already discussed at the system singularity stability set, that the singularity, which is that turning point where the vortex turns inside out, where the two opposite sides are actually connected, and the thing and the opposite are actually the same, then in that singularity of the cell division, we can see that the vortex which is associated with that, we can now call it the chakra as well, is connected to every other chakra, every other vortex of every other cell. But that means that the body as a whole is a system of vortices. Vortices is the plural form of the vortex. So all these vortices are interconnected, but they're also very much attuned. They're actually part of the same rhythm system, which is what we discuss in mathematics at a musical level. What are the notes that are playing? But here we're looking at where do these notes come from, and then it's from the first cell. The first cell has its note, it has its cell cycle, but at the moment that its cell cycle is split and doubled by this vortex motion, then also the cell cycle which was within the first cell is seen not only as the cell cycles of the two cells that come out of that first cell, but it also seen as the feed forward and the feedback loop of the communication between those two cells. Because in the dynamic of cell division, I already described that it goes from a material level to a molecular level to atomic level to a pure phase space level, and then bounces back in that vortex motion on the other side of the zero point. But there is also a continuation of that internal and external cycle, because the external cycle repeats what has happened in that cell division. In the communication between the cells, the cells use the material of the molecules. It also uses the molecular chemical effect of the molecules in the molecular reactivity. It also uses the capacity of the molecules to transform. So it is the energetic level of, the atomic level of the cell division process which is seen there. And at the deepest level, we can also see that the cells use the photonic or the pure phase space component of that process. And in the molecules, you can actually see that, because the molecules which are most physical in their behavior is what we call the proteins. The molecules which are more chemical, more reactive, more interactive in their behavior, these are called the enzymes. The molecules which are communicative, which are transformative, which are able to change the relationship, are called the hormones. And the molecules which operate with the light directly are called pigments. So the chakra system of the body, that vortex system, is actually also the system that integrates these four levels of the body, because when we look at the proteins, the enzymes, the hormones, and the pigments, we are actually looking at the physical side of the body, the chemical side of the body, the electromagnetic processes of the body, and the body as an information field. But that means we are actually looking at the anatomy of the body, which is physical, connected to the proteins. We are looking at the physiology, which is, the chemical aspect connected to these enzymes. We are talking about the regulatory system with the neurons and the hormones, and the hormones, of course, are this transformative in the electromagnetic realm. And we are talking about the consciousness of the body. which connects to the pigments and the light field. So there we can see that in this division of the first cell forming the whole body, we have this process in which this, just like in pulling the plug of the bath, the volume, the surface, the line and the point are connected. We now see them as the relation between matter, molecules, atoms and the subatomic quantum field, but they're all interconnected. And so what happens when this first cell unfolds and forms the whole body, that all the 40 cells are still connected to that first cell. Mm-hmm. And in a way, whatever happens in the body, however the body is moved or shaken in the environment, that vortex system will always need to rebalance itself. So yes, you can look at the cells, but actually the cells are based on the dynamic of the cell, which is based on the cell cycle. But all these cell cycles of all the cells are interconnected because they're all part of the same vortex system. And that is what I have described in the time as the system stability singularity set. And all these vortices, these singularities, are connected. And together they interconnect with each other in such a way that they attune each other and keep each other in balance. And that creates the stability, because all of these cells and all of these vortices, all of these singularities together form a set, and thereby they can define and maintain the system as a whole. So there is a connection then between what you see between the first cell and the chakra, the vortex that is associated with it, and the body as a whole. Because the body as a whole is a bit like the earth. And when you look at the earth from afar, you can see that there is a magnetic field going around it. The magnetic field has the biblical shape of the apple. So around this ball of the earth is this apple-shaped set of magnetic field lines, which you can actually see when you go to the poles as the aurora borealis. So when this electromagnetic field, the light field of the sun, gets caught up in this magnetic field, the Van Allen belt, that's called, of the Earth, then it will be pulled in by the magnetic lines and form these sheets of light, which are called the aurora borealis, the northern lights. So in that same way, we have around every cell that kind of effect, but we also have that for the body as a whole. So where every cell is using these four levels of the electromagnetic field, the physical, the chemical, the electromagnetic and the photonic, in their cell communication, then we likewise see the total effect of that for the body as a whole, and that then is called the aura. So the aura, or the light field of the body, is a sum total of the physical processes, which are based on the physiological processes, which are based on the regulatory system processes, which are based on the information integration process, the consciousness. So in our body, we see that the four states of matter are actually, just as was described by the alchemist, different aspects of an electromagnetic field. And if you look at that from the perspective of fundamental physics, you would see that there is a photon leap between atoms, which will make it possible to have an electron leap to change the charge of the electrons in the atom, which then makes it possible to change the electrovalence, the electrical affinity between atoms. Actually, it's based on electron oscillation between the atoms. And that then makes it possible for these atoms to connect up by electron bonding. So in the process of materialization, this is the universal process, you have that the photon leap can trigger an electron leap, which can trigger an electron oscillation, which can trigger electron bonding. But actually, we see that in our body because the photon leap is at the level of the consciousness. The electron leap is at the level of the electromagnetic body system, where the body cell regulation takes place. Then the electron oscillation is what we know as the body chemistry or the physiology. And the level of electron bonding is where we see the body anatomy, the physical part of the body. Evidently, we need to understand this not as the body as a whole, because the body materials are produced by the living cells to optimize the cell communication. So the body anatomy is the consequence of the body physiology. The physiology of the body is the process of communication between the cells. And it has all these different aspects. It has, the, as I described before, the physical molecular, it has the chemical molecular, it has the electromagnetic molecular, and it has the information part of the molecule as a radio signal. And so the physiology is actually an electromagnetic flow of electrons regulated through the body, and that's the whole level of the body physiology, which is actually, when you look at it deeper, an electrophysiology. But when you see that you also have the electrical effect as if separate from the body, then you can see that's actually the psychology too. So the physiology is actually a flow of electricity through the body, but it is regulated by the cell, because the physiology is a series of cycles within cycles within cycles, and all of that also can be described in the form of vortices which are connected. But the vortices of those cycles of the communication between the cells always comes back to what happens within the cells. So the cell communication is always a consequence of what happens within the cells, and that's the process of cell regulation. And the cell regulation process is where the electric field and the magnetic field operate at that level of the photon leap, the electron oscillation, electron bonding, because that is the process, the vortexing process, by which the cells actually can form and transform and deform and reform molecules. So at that cell, the level of the cell is a supercomputer which can use atomic reactions to form and deform and reform matter, because basically the body is just the resonator for the communication of the cells. So we've now gone from the anatomy back to the physiology, back to what happens in the cell at the level of the cell regulation, which is an electromagnetic phenomenon. But in order for the cells to be able to do that, they need to have the information. They need to be able to compare what happens within them to what happens around them. And that's the same process as we see in our brain when we compare what happens within us in the rear part of the brain to what happens around us, actually on the surface of the brain, in the forebrain. So the pineal gland then represents the cell in orienting itself between the surface and the core, what people interpret as the outside and the inside. So in that sense, the cell or the pineal gland is the pivot of this transaction between outside and inside. It's like the joystick for our navigation in the realm, where as creators in creation, we are able to change our relationship, which able to change our involvement and be more outward or more inward. And of course, all of that within the limitations of the cells. But so that relationship between being more outward and being more inward, which happens already in the first cell, which happens in every cell, which also happens in the pineal gland, you can actually see in the aura. So the aura is the color of all of the cells communicating with each other, because all of the cells are these nuclear reactors operating in the electromagnetic field. They're actually able to work with the quantum field. They are able to work with the electromagnetic charge potentials. They are able to change the electron flow in the body. They can actually even change the manifestation of the body. So the cells work with this electromagnetic field. But that electromagnetic field we see in the aura. As mentioned before, the cells can orient themselves in that. They can work more one way or the other way. They can go more inward or more outward. That's where it's very practical to look at two models of what happens with light when you orient it. Because essentially, if you would look at light, if a photon comes straight toward you, we'll see it as white light. If a photon goes away from you, you will see it as black light. You will actually not see it. And anywhere in between, the photon will be tilted one way, tilted the other, will be tilted towards you, will be tilted away from you. And depending on how far it is tilted between coming towards you as white light or going away from you as black light, it will be perceived as different colors. And the usual model of understanding how that happens is in the form from the spectrum of Newton for the color diffraction. It is well known that he used a quartz prism, an equilateral triangle, and then if you shine white light, a beam of white light, into one side of the prism, the light will spread out into the prism because it moves slower in the prism than it moves in the vacuum or in the empty space. And as a result, when it comes out at the other side of the prism, it will be seen as the rainbow spectrum because part of the light will be turned one way, top part of light will be turned the other way. So there's a faster section of the light, there's a slower section of the light, so the faster part, the one turned more towards the white light is the blue, and the one which is furthest away from us is seen as red, and there is this whole array of colors in between. And that's actually what people see when they look at the aura, because they see that in our body the same happens. That at the top of the body, where we are free to think whatever we want, the light is white. And at the bottom of the spine, where we are connected to Earth, the light of the spectrum is black. And in between, right in the middle, you have the yellow, which is the midpoint between the white and the black. And then the top part of the body is more in the blue, and the bottom part of the body is more in the red. And as a result, there is this description that there is this distribution of light around the body, which is the same as that of the spectrum of the prism of Newton. If you look at the bottom of the body, it's black. If you go up a bit, it is red, then it is orange, then in the middle it is yellow, then it goes towards green, it goes towards blue, and then at the top you will see it as white. So actually, the distribution of the color of these lights around the body is a logical consequence of the way our body works as a prism on the light, as we are connected on the one side to the Earth and on the other side to the cosmos. So there's nothing spectacular or nothing special about the way these lights are distributed, because that's just what you would expect from the Newton prism. But there's something else that our body from the first cell has grown to work with, that system of being connected to the Earth on the one side and being connected to the universe on the other side. So our internal organization in the form of organs is connected to the way we are fixed to Earth on the one side and we are free to think universal on the other side. So in the body there is an organization of the organs which corresponds with those colors, and actually there are the measurements of the regions of the body where the glands are, the organ glands, and then it is seen that the organ glands actually have hormones in there with frequencies which are faster or slower depending on whether they are more thought related or more body related. And so then that is the basis of the explanation of this system of colors of the chakras, where between the white at the top and the black at the bottom, you have all these different colors. And these different colors are known in all cultures, and they're known as the rainbow bridge. And so if you look at the chakras in their sequence, then the root chakra at the bottom is black, then the sexual chakra is red, then at the level of the navel, the hara, the third chakra, it is orange, the fourth chakra in the solar plexus, it is yellow, the fifth chakra in the heart is green, the chakra at the throat is blue, and the chakra in the head is violet, and then the crown chakra will be white. For those who know a bit about the chakra system, you will have noticed that I added the third chakra at the hara, at the navel level. In fact, I did not add a chakra at the navel. That chakra has already been there. It is included in the spectrum of the rainbow colors, but it was omitted by the people who described the chakra system, because if you use the chakra system, if you understand that these glands are regulators in our involvements, that the chakras are the glands by which we can process our involvement to be more physically involved or more mentally involved or more relational involved or more self-involved, then if you are able to connect your thought into actions, that means that what you think in your head and what you feel in your heart can be put to action in your gut and then becomes your being in your what's called the holy bone. So the orientation of our being and our environment is always based on what we do with our body on the earth, while our body is at the same time part of earth. It grew out of earth over billions of years, but it's also part of the universe. We are free spirits connected to the universe as a whole. So in that sense, the chakras, they determine how we think about things in our head, how we feel about things in our heart, what we're going to do about it in our gut, and what we become as a result in our pelvis. And some people who were teaching this chakra system, they just thought that what better that people don't learn about the master switch of it all, which is where we turned into action, and that's why they left out the hara chakra. In the Kabbalistic system, it's called the node of Das, which is also omitted out of the story. It's actually where you turn things on. So once you realize that, you also realize that if you want to be responsible for your life, you must be response-able. You must know that what you think and what you put into action in your body will suffer the consequences, but the earth as well will suffer the consequences if it doesn't match. So we all must understand how the hara plays a role in that chakra system. So that's the reason why it must be included in the chakra system. So then when you look at the chakra system as a whole, you can see that the body as a whole originated from this first cell. So as the first cell was based on this principle of a vortex, the turning inside out, all of your ancestors turned inside out in forming your body. So in the first cell, you are living the zero point of the relationship between all your ancestors and you. And in that zero point, it then led to a series of unfoldments where that first vortex, that first chakra in the first cell, unfolded again and again and again and again in what mathematicians would call a decision tree, and what traditionally would be called the tree of life, which is also the tree of consciousness, which is also the tree of the world, because it is part of your ancestry and all of the other life forms. And it's also the tree of discernment, the decision tree, very literally, which has been mistranslated of the tree of good and evil. Because once you realize that in the vortex, the one side and the other side are connected, then yes, you could call the one side the black hole and the other side the white source, but actually they're just the part where the vortex turns into the zero point, and the side where the vortex emerges out of the zero point, but it's the same vortex. If you would look at the vortex from behind, say you look at the vortex through the center of the vortex, through the center point where the vortex turns inside out, and through to the midline on the other vortex, you would see that the vortex continues rotating in the same direction as it diminishes into the zero point, and then starts to expand again and circulate out into the other vortex. So it is that principle which connects all of the cells in the body, which is also the basis of the connection of all of the notes, the musical notes in our body. And then it is evident that the relationship between the one cell and the others through that vortex. And I think we have talked about the comma of Pythagoras quite a number of times. And actually the comma of Pythagoras is the crossing point between the one vortex and the other. And it has been described by Einstein as the crossing point of the waves of the light beam. Max Planck was more concerned about what happens in the crossing point itself. So what happens when the light beam switches from the one wave to the other, which is called a quantum leap. And so it is at that level that you can see that the quantum flips side. That's actually also the mechanism of freedom of choice. So in the middle of the vortex, in the middle of the crossing point from the one wave to the other in the light beam, in the crossing point itself, which is the point of the quantum leap, that is where the electricity and the magnetism, or the physical and the metaphysical, or the external, the internal of the electrical and the external of the magnetic, are linked. It's like a zipper. But the closer you get to the zero point, the more it matters where you make the crossing. Because the closer you get, the more you get into the level of the quantum. And at some point, the turning point itself is only the flip of a quantum. But the quantum is the singularity. And in the singularity, the positive charge and the negative charge are connected. So actually, there's not a flipping of charge, but the pixel that forms the universe just turns around on itself.
Just like the cell of the man and the wife becomes one.
Exactly. And so everything that happens at the level of the quantum, of the singularity, of the zero point, we see in many different forms as a result of that. And the complementarity between male and female, and male plus female is human. So basically, the woman and the man are only half human. And it's only when they come together that the polarity is dissolved, resolved, and that you can see the continuity. And that is what happens in the boundary. The boundary is the separation between the two polarities, the one side of the vortex and the other side of the vortex. But as you go closer to the boundary, you come closer to the zero point. And as Bill Tiller described, if you get closer to the zero point, all the energy that you need to invest to go through the what Einstein called the barrier of light, once you make that quantum leap of going through the boundary, going through the zero point, all of that energy that you invested will come out. That's where you see that quantum the theory of relativity is incomplete. You need to have that understanding of Bill Tiller to complete it. And then you see what happens is actually that what has been described in part by Max Planck of the quantum leap. But then you see that the quantum leap is just the quantum turning over on itself. And it is that principle which we can describe in the terminology of the vortex. And it is that understanding by which we can see that the universal principle of the creation of the universe as a whole from the zero point by the dynamic of the vortex, as described by Lawrence Edwards, we actually see at every level in the universe as a whole, everywhere. So once we associate and identify that with the body, then we can see that in the cell we can very clearly see how the cell operates that vortex. And as I mentioned, it uses that vortex to connect the quantum field to the electromagnetic polarity shifts of the atomic reorganization, which then leads to the chemical flows of electricity in and between the atoms, which we then know as the physiology. And it actually then leads to the materialization of the molecules that the cells produce in what we call the anatomy. So rather than look at the anatomy, the physiology, the regulatory system, and the information integration system, we can see that all of that is done by the cells. So the whole body is just an enfolded version of the first cell, and that the dynamic of the first cell is that dynamic of the vortex. In the whole body, the effect of all of the vortices together is seen in the aura. So in the aura, you can see if somebody is open to everything and living in full potential. And that's when somebody has a white aura and called a saint. But you can also see when people are more inclined to be thinking. They will have a blue aura living in their head more than connected to the earth. Or you see that they are more in the red, that they're connecting into the earth, but too much disconnected from the information process, so they'll bump into things, and as a result, they work a lot with energy, but they also waste a lot of energy. And in between, you have that they operate in the yellow, which could be that they are in their own space, or that they are actually stretching out their awareness, combining mind and body, and living on the earth. So there are many texts which describe how these shifts in orientation between being physical and being spiritual, we are both, can be understood. And so the text on chakra analysis actually is a handbook for recalibrating our involvement in our environment.
And you have the chakra analysis also in your wiki, TiddlyWiki?
Too much work. These texts are always the same. What I do describe is that it is all about involvement. Mm-hmm. But I, instead of describing it there, I refer to books which already exist. Mm-hmm. So Roslyn Briere has the book of the Wheels of Light.
Yeah.
Anadea Judith has the book the Wheels of Life.
Yeah.
Barbara Ann Brennan has her excellent book on healing hands.
Yeah.
There are very many mystic traditions which have very excellent description. You just have to be aware that you need to include the Hara in the story that they tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them have been reading text from the East, and in the East they just left out the Hara to make sure that people wouldn't abuse it. So mm-hmm. that if you had the knowledge but you were not trained by somebody who was actually working with it, then you would not be able to use the real power of it.
Mm.
So I'm not describing the details of it, but I do describe that in the Western world, these chakras were known as well, there too. They didn't describe the eight chakras, but they left out the gut chakra hara. And so mm-hmm. they talk about seven chakras. In fact, they don't talk about it as the chakras. They talk about the graces or the sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have the seven sins, you have the seven hereditary sins, you have the seven deadly sins. But basically that's just a boring and incomplete and untoward interpretation of the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
Because as each chakra has a relationship with our involvement, then of course if you focus on only one of these chakras, which are basically like a gear in a car, if you drive the car in the wrong gear, then you will cause problems. And so if you use the wrong gear, you could blow up your body, and then it's called a deadly sin.
Mm.
Or if you use the wrong gear, but you continue to survive, then you have not a deadly sin, but a chronic sin, which is called a hereditary sin.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very useless to have a description of, oh, there are these sins and you must be aware mm-hmm. of it. It is much more practical to tell people, oops, you're driving in the wrong gear. Maybe it's practical if you learn how to shift gear. Mm-hmm. But of course, in order to learn to shift gear, you must know that you have freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the church system was actually a follow-up of the Roman slave system, so they didn't much have interest in showing people freedom of choice.
Drug abuse? How? Because
it's not interesting. Because there
which
are many form of dependency. Mm-hmm. If you have in the chakra system, which is basically the system by which we relate to our environment, I say there are eight gears, and there's not just eight gear forward, but also the chakras are not just only at the front, but they're also at the back. Mm. They're also at the right, they're also at the left, they're also at the top, and also at the bottom. So actually, every of these, they're called in Sanskrit, the lights. You can sort of imagine a series of lights along the vertical column, along the spine. It's just in front of the spine. And that's also what the Nordic tradition described as the rainbow bridge. They called it the dancer on the rainbow bridge. So we're the dancer on the rainbow bridge, and we need to use all these colors. But if you get stuck in any of these colors, then you will exhaust that color, and you will need to compensate with the other colors. And that being stuck on something is called a dependency or an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Buddhism, they call it an attachment. And to be able to get unstuck, as Buddhists say, you need to be detached. You need to let go of your bias. And of course, that happens automatically every sleep cycle. But if you do not get out of it when you wake up, what the Australians call the dream time, you keep on hypnotizing yourself that reality is this or that or the other, then you need to actually disconnect yourself for a couple of hours or a couple of days, which is called meditation, which is actually what we do in the sleep cycle. So in the sleep cycle, we go from our involvement with the outer world, which is the beta brainwave level, and then you go to the body level of the body functioning as a whole, which is the alpha brainwave mm-hmm. level, which then goes to the deeper organ level of the theta brainwave level.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it must go back to the cell functioning, which is the delta brainwave level. So in the sleep cycle, we actually use the same vortex motion because we go from the 3D reality of what we seem to perceive around us. Basically, there's just vibrations on the surface of our body. So it is, as in India they say, it's samsara, sensory impressions. And then from the surface of the body, that goes through the neurons, through the plexus, to the brain. So we create an inner picture of that. But we need to recalibrate that picture now. And we need to let go of the picture that we have. So in order to do that, you do the same as in the sleep cycle. First you immerse yourself with what's going on around you, then you go into feeling what happens in the body, then you go on into what happens in the level of the organs. What are the afterthoughts or the emotions? Why do you have them? Do you need them? And then you go into the level of the cells, where you discover that every cell is the universe in inverse. And that at the cell level, you are one with the universe as a whole. You're in that singularity where the two sides, which seem to be separate, are connected. And you see that everything connects. And that you are actually a connector, like you're the zipper, which can open or close your relationship with the universe.
Yeah.
And that zipping, that motion of the zipper, is a different way of describing the vortex. So the story of the vortex is very much about being able to see that we are a vortex. We are like a tornado, except what we have the tornado compacted in the body, and the tornado doesn't carry up the water or the land as a form of dust, but it just carries up the cells and, like a fountain, keeps them in shape. And the better you can attune that tornado, the better you can use your energy, and you can actually stop eating, and there are other things which are possible out of that. But also you can start to be aware of much more than what happens in your own body, because the antenna functions of the cells start to connect up, because the cells aligned, and the body starts to connect to the mind, to the soul, to the spirit, all because of the chakras. The vortices starting to connect up to the universal chakra, so to say. So there are many descriptions of that. And mysticism has a lot of description of what they call God and the universe and creation. And essentially, that is the environment that we live in. But our relationship with that environment is based only on how we change our involvement at the boundary of our body and mind, soul, spirit. And that is a chakra system. So that's why I wrote this story about the chakra. Mm-hmm. But basically, it is the pivot. It is the handle by which we navigate this reality. And the better that you understand that all of the cells are originating from your first cell, and that your first cell originated from the cells of the rest of your humanity, then you see that you are actually humanity, and the body actually is Earth, and our consciousness is actually universal. And then it helps to restore the integrity of everything by realizing that our body is one vortex system, and that all the vortices in the body are interconnected. That in the first cell you can see how it works, in the cell division you see how it acts, in the aura of the whole body you see how it acts out, and then in the chakra system you can see how we interact with it, and there are other books who describe that. So maybe I'll just leave it at this.
Mm-hmm. Because I had a very simple question. Mm-hmm. What's the best interface to interact with the chakra? Is it by thought? Is it by sound? Is it by manipulated light or laser light?
No, it doesn't come from outside. Every manipulation from outside takes away your freedom of choice. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that to realize, that's also the reason why I wrote it. So thank you for your question, mm-hmm. because the whole purpose of my right describing it is that people need to realize that they are it.
And that they are the interface, they are the decision.
Yeah, because the interface itself is the zero point. And what matters is what you do with it.
Yeah.
Do you associate it with the white side or the black side? And don't you see that they are both the same side? Don't you see that the black side actually originates out of the white side and vice versa? That the one turns into the other, but that you'll see the one or the other if you're not in the zero point.
Yeah.
So as the saying has it, the black is the shadow of the white when you block your light.
Yeah.
And so the darker you get to the zero point, the darker the blackness seems to be. But once you realize that you're actually the pivot, then you can turn black into white, because you can see what it is in its other aspect.
Yeah.
And then you can integrate the two, and then you can discover that you're the integrative factor. You're the Pope on Earth. You're the one that restores divine oneness or holiness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The universe works in a way, but are you working in that way, or are you working against it? That's the freedom of choice that we have.
Are you connected to yourself, or are you disconnected?
Yeah, are you creating hell on Earth, or are you planting paradise?
Yeah.
And so our body is a chakra. Our body is the tip of the pencil on the paper by which we write the reality that we choose to live. And yes, you can listen to others and get distracted and disturbed, or you can listen to the universe and look at the flowers and see that they're all a vortex, look at the tornado and discover that you're one, look at the volcano and see that actually we are part of the same. And while you look around in nature, you can see that everything is that vortex dynamic, just as Lawrence Edwards described. And once you understand that, I describe it because I know it, and by describing it, other people can know it too. And once they realize it, they can sense and feel how it works within them. And once they know how it works within them, they know how they can work with it and also how they cannot work with it. So that's where the self-healing process comes in. That they can let go of all the things which are not part of their inner nature and being, and come back to their inner nature and how their body originated from the first cell, which arranged from all of their ancestors, which are actually humanity, which is actually part of the earth. And then they will know that they are connected to it all, they are it all, and they're living it all in their body together with all these other people who mirror themselves in each other. And that is the interesting part of the vortex, that there are always two sides, always one contracting, always one expanding, but it's always connected in the middle point where the expansion is the contraction, and the one side is the other side.
Indeed.
So we leave it at this for the moment.
Yeah, wonderful expose about the chakras and the aura and how it all fits together in all the levels, and maybe on a deeper level we could go deeper in one or two or zero dimensions to see how it works on that level. Now it was now covered more or less all the dimensions, and to get even a more clearer view on how it interacts differently if you look at it from a different dimension. But it's up to us.
Thank you. And I hope that next time we can correlate this story to the cosmic orchestra and the harmony of our body.
Yeah, it would be lovely.
Thank you, Hank.
Thank you. Thank you, Otto.